It isn't mind over matter. Those coals are not really hot. I don't know how Satan's pulled it off. I don't have to know how he did it. I just know that if anything that contradicts what God says is of Satan and it's a lie. And so I hope, hey, what I hope to teach you there isn't about firewalking, but a principle. A principle. That we can find the answers to the great mysteries that all the big eggheads are sweating. And we know the answers, right? We even know who came first, the chicken and the egg. God says he ripped chickens. He didn't roll eggs in front of Adam. He said the animals came in front of Adam and Adam named them. So gang, hey, this was a weird session, but it came out of... That's the only thing that can come when you study a bunch of weird religions. And for the last two sessions, we studied about a bunch of weird religions. The answers are in here. They'll protect you, and they will enable you to help weaker Christians that may think this stuff is really good. You know, they may not realize who this is. You've got the answers. Parting shot for tonight. I'm going to bring you back to the Scriptures. Hallelujah. Beloved, I want to finish in about 5 or 10 minutes by just leaving you with just one little pearl to enjoy for 1 week. Okay? To enjoy for 1 week. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. I want to just share with you very quickly 3 words. Three words. Watch up here, please. The first, is the word surety. The next is the word intercession. And then also mediator. Now, I just want to read a few verses with you and tell you this, it'll be worth coming for. This will be worth going. You can mull this over. You can enjoy this one all weekend long. Okay? Please read with me verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 7. Yes. By so much was Jesus made a what? Surety of a better testament. Okay, I just want you to see there. It says that Jesus, John Adams, is the surety of the New Testament, the New Covenant. All right, now verse 25. Wherefore he, Jesus, is able also to save them to the absolute uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he does what? Ever lives to make intercession for them. All right? Jesus lives forever to make intercession for us. That's good, because if our high priest dies, then we ain't got anyone making intercession. Now I got to worry about you. All right, now, chapter 8, verse 6. But now has he, Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Okay, look up on the board. I just can't stand teaching you a session without telling you a little about Jesus. Did you observe, as we read those 3 verses, that it says that Jesus is these things? Now also turn with me quickly. I want one more verse to First Timothy. That's where all the T's are. Verse 4, chapter 2. Let's read verse 4, 5, and 6. All right, picking up the last words of verse 3, it says, God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved. Ah, it is the will of God that all be saved. Unfortunately, we have a free will too, and we can rebel. Okay, but God does want everyone to be saved. There is one God, and how many mediators? One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, my Catholic brothers and sisters in here, see, those saints can't mediate. Because God says there's only one mediator. So you guys don't have to fool around with peons like them. You can go right to the head of the table because God loves you. And all the rest of you. God says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for how many of us? All of us. To be testified in due time. Now, so Jesus has paid the debt for everyone. The only issue is, will they accept the pardon? So, again, we see that Jesus is the mediator. Now, I want to just discuss very quickly with you these three terms. Because, beloved Christians, hear me. Almost nobody understands the first one. Most of you have some idea what this is. I'm going to talk about these because once you know what that is, that's going to be worth writing home to Mom about. Okay, now listen to me. What is a mediator? A mediator is one that negotiates or administrates a contract. The provisions of the contract or the covenant, as we call it in the Bible. We've got a covenant, don't we? A contract with God. There was an old covenant, and we've got a new covenant. So the mediator is one that negotiates and administrates the contract, the covenant. Who negotiated for us? I didn't negotiate a contract with God, did you? No, but my mediator did. Now, this mediator, to be a mediator, he's got to be able to fairly represent both. Many of you know about mediators and labor problems and things like that. To be a mediator, you've got to represent both sides, and that's why Jesus had to be both God and man. So that he could be absolutely fair to God and represent the holiness of God, never yielding to the holiness, justice, and righteousness of God. He had to fairly represent that. But he also had to fairly represent us, and he could do that because he was a man. And could do the other because he was God. So to be a mediator, you've got to be both. Well, he was. Then we saw and read in chapter 7, verse 25, that he lives forever being a priest to make intercession. Now, a prophet in the Bible spoke to the people for God. A priest in the Bible spoke to God for the people. He interceded. Now, the book of Hebrews says we have a high priest who lives forever to make intercession. Now, as I've told you before, but I want to make sure we remember, this does not mean that when you sin and Satan brings us to God's attention, that Father stands up off the throne and begins to roll his sleeves up saying, that dirty sinner, I'm going to destroy them. And Jesus jumps up real quick and says, oh, no, Father, don't do it. Don't. See, when we've been taught, and many of us have been taught, and it's in our mind that basically that was it. See, that's calling our Father a bad guy. That's painting a portrait of God, Father God, that isn't true. It is true that the holiness, justice, and righteousness of God hates sin and wants to destroy and stomp sin. But God loves sinners because that's all he's got to work with. See, I mean, that's all there is. And so, when Jesus intercedes for us, all he does is, listen, he does this by merely bearing testimony that the debt has been paid. See, when you sin, what does the Bible say the penalty for that is? Death. Death. Well, the holiness, justice, and righteousness of God demand death. I mean, else God isn't fair. I mean, he isn't honest. He isn't holy. Jesus says, right. And he just kind of, he just sits there with his blood in front of him, with the nail prints in his hands. the thorn prints on his brow, the spear print in his side, and the nail prints in his feet. And Jesus, merely standing there or sitting there, bears testimony that the debt's paid. That's how he intercedes. The debt was death. I died for them. Look! And the blood is here. The Bible tells us that he took his own, here in Hebrews, they took his own blood into the tabernacle. So that blood and his scars are testimony. God doesn't jump up and Jesus jump in the way. You know, it's paid. Now, what was the price for your sin? What was the penalty for your sin? Death. Now, the Bible says that we were in Christ on the cross, in God's view. That Jesus didn't just die as your substitute, but that you and I were in Him. And therefore, in God's view, you died on that cross in Christ. Now, you didn't bleed. Had you bled, you would have been a participant in a covenant. You didn't participate in making the covenant. Hey, you didn't participate. Jesus did it. If you had bled on that cross when you sinned one time, guess what would have happened to you as a participant? You would have been unfaithful as a participant. And when participants are unfaithful, they get stomped. Remember the Old Testament? God, so do to me and more if I ever break the covenant. And so take a look at Hebrews 6:13. Hebrews 6:13. What does God say He did there? And so God did what? God swore to God. Look, gang, when God made the covenant, God swore to God. And therefore, if the covenant... Remember when Abraham walked between the animal halves and God put him to sleep? And two objects passed between you? It was God swearing to God. God made covenant with God. Someone came and took Abraham's place. On the cross, someone took our place. Now, we were in Him, but we didn't bleed. In covenant making, you bled. And if you bled and made a covenant, then if you were unfaithful, your blood had to be spilled. But we were not participants in the covenant. We were receivers of a covenant. It's a what? Remember that Greek word I taught you a long time ago? A diatheke. An unequal covenant. A covenant where one partner does all the what? Giving, and the other partner does all receiving. If Jesus hadn't done it all, if God hadn't sworn to God, and you sinned one time, Kerry, God had to split you down the backbone right through the skull. Zonk, stomp, and you wouldn't even be a greasy spot. This is the basis upon which the fact that when you sin, God doesn't have to destroy you. Jesus mediated. But you say, okay, Floyd, I do sin. And you've taught me 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, that when we sin as Christians, we are to repent and confess, and that God washes away with the blood. Yes. You say, well, how does that work exactly? Let me help you. Because Jesus, chapter 7 says, is the surety of the covenant. Okay, gang, this is the final. This is it. Why is it God hadn't wiped you sinners out? Why is it God hadn't wiped me a sinner out? Because Jesus is the surety. Now, what do we mean by surety? Okay? Now, let's say Al is a banker. And let's say that Kerry here needs a loan. But Kerry has no collateral. No collateral. And he comes down and he wants $10,000. Al is not going to give it to him. He has no collateral. But let's suppose that I'm very well off financially and that I'm very close to Kerry. I could become a surety. Now, don't do this. The book of Proverbs says, never become a surety. That was God's pleasure. God wanted to become a surety. God says, don't you guys ever sign a note for somebody else. And He says, in fact, in the book of Proverbs, if you've already done it, go to the person that you signed for and beg and plead for them to get you off the hook and let you off the hook. I think, as I understand the Bible, that an exception to that might be your own children, your own intimate family. But you better be willing to lose it if you're going to do it. That's life. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're not willing to lose it. But I mean, don't do it for people right now. Because God said not to. See, God knows how we are. God knows when they renege on that thing that you're not going to be happy about it and it's going to create problems. Now, but if I come and say, okay, Kerry, Al, I've got the money and I will sign the note and become a surety. Now, the word surety means, in modern English, most of you know this, a guarantor. A guarantor. The guarantor, if you please. Now, let's see if we follow that. Now, what's going to happen if, you know, here's old Kerry, and he pays the bank the first note, and he pays them the second note, and he pays them the third note, but whoops, come the fourth note, Kerry doesn't pay. Guess who Al's coming after? Not Kerry. Kerry already told him he didn't have anything. You can't get blood out of a turnip. Al knows it won't do any good to come to Kerry if Kerry didn't pay. Who signed that note that said, I will pay? Floyd. No, Al's coming after me because I am the surety, the guarantor. And anything that Kerry fails to do, I got to do. In other words, beloved, hear me carefully. When you become a surety, then you're responsible. Are you getting that? A surety quite often is involved in having to pay out vast sums on behalf of the one on whom he stands a guarantor. And Jesus did pay out a vast sum. And so, beloved, hear me. Once you understand simple, once you understand what it means to be, Jesus guarantees this. Jesus guarantees that whatever your debt is, whatever it is, He's going to pay it and do something about your lack of performance. That's what being a surety is. Else you'd all lose it. And so would I. Now, let's read how He pulls it off. Last verse for tonight. Ezekiel 36. I've read this one to you before. But this time I want you to see it along with the concept of the word surety. Ezekiel 36. Once Jesus decided to be a surety, He and Father God worked this thing out so that all of your failures and all of my failures were anticipated by Jesus being our surety. He anticipated every one of your failures. Of course He did. Else, some surety He is. If He doesn't, He's got to go back on the cross. And gang, He's not going to do that. Okay? If Jesus didn't figure a way, and Father didn't figure a way, for all your failures to be taken care of, then it's up to Jesus, who is the surety. The guarantee. Father, when Satan accuses me, Father turns to Jesus, and Jesus has got to do something. Because He mediated the covenant. He made the terms. He negotiated. And He is the administrator of the covenant. In other words, gang, you've got a free will, but it's up to Jesus to do something about your failures. Now, how's He going to do it? Hallelujah. It's so easy when you read the answers. Verse 26. Now, observe, this is New Covenant verses. Chapter 36 of Ezekiel. This is the New Covenant promise in Ezekiel. There's one in Jeremiah, chapter 31. There's one here. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put where? Within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Is circumcision still a truth? Yes. God just changed the way He circumcised. Now He circumcises hearts. Okay? Everybody gets circumcised in the New Covenant. Hallelujah. And I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Jesus said, I'm the surety. I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes. I said, wait a minute, God. I haven't done that all the time. He says, but I'm going to. Well, how are you going to do it, Jesus?
Verse 27.
I put my spirit within you. And so, but gang, when you and I begin to not walk in the Spirit, when we begin to fail to hold up the covenant, and we don't really hold up our end. See, we don't hold up our end because we didn't participate in the covenant. We're receivers. When you begin to fail, it's up to King Jesus to do something. It's up to the surety to do something. It's up to Him. He must. He's the surety. Now, if He could die, He couldn't intercede and He might fail us and He wouldn't be our surety. Since He can't die, He'll always be your intercessor and He'll always be your surety. Now, what was the penalty for your sin? Death. God says you died in Christ. Therefore, how can we kill you again? The penalty for all your sins, I don't care which one or how many, was death. You died in Christ. Death's paid. And so Jesus is the surety. Now it's up to Him, since He put the Spirit in us and gave us a new nature. Oh, hey, you got a free will. And He holds you responsible for your free will. But it's up to Him as the surety to work our free will over to make us yield to the Spirit. The Spirit's going to bug you. He's got to. He's got to. Else Jesus lied to us. He isn't the surety. He isn't guaranteeing that He's going to pull you through this. You can grit your teeth. You can bare your nose to God. But the Holy Spirit's going to put that hook in your jaw. He has to, gang. Or else Jesus isn't the surety. Jesus has vowed to God. God swore to God to pull you and me in line as the surety. Jesus has to perform. He knew I wasn't going to perform so good. Do you know I even sin when I pray? You just listen to some of your prayers. I even sin when I pray. My best moments are full of sin. I sin when I teach. I get in the flesh when I teach. I just can't go. I'm a sinner. But somebody's got to do something. And if we're waiting on old Brother Floyd to perform, we're in trouble. You just enjoy. Go now that you know, read Hebrews again. And enjoy knowing that God has sworn to God that He is going to make you perform. Did you ever read Philippians 2:13? God says, He will perform in us both the do and the will. He won't take your will away. When Jesus put the new nature in us by circumcising our hearts, He gave us something that only enjoys doing things His way. Isn't that dirty? Isn't that sneaky? What a sneaky way to get us to do things His way. You say, but Brother Floyd, can't we go away from the Holy Spirit? Yes. But it's Jesus' job to see that the Holy Spirit gets you to repent. And gang, I can tell you He's never failed in my life. And Sherry, He hadn't failed in yours. Would you stand? Hallelujah. I am so glad I've got a surety. Because I just know I'd blow my debts. I just know I'd blow it.